1 Timothy chapter 5 tonight. Let's go ahead and pray and ask his blessing on his word. Church family, grab your attention now. We won't be long tonight, but I ask the Lord to speak to you tonight. Father, thank you again for letting us open up the pages of Scripture. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for the ones that have worked all day and then are here tonight. Lord, I can tell some might even be tired tonight, but Lord, they've come. And Lord, I ask you to please again do something like only you can do. Thank you for your word and the power of it. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who dwells within. Thank you, Father, that you see the beginning from the end. Lord, as we look at the prayer bulletin tonight and some things we can't see the end to, Lord, thank you that you can. Lord, I ask you to please work on the behalf of each person tonight, each situation. Lord, again, we lift up really specifically tonight the Seeley family. We don't know them, but Lord, obviously you chose to allow that child to go to heaven. Lord, just ask you to please comfort, strengthen the family. Help them, Father, to, again, put their faith in you tonight. I love you. Help us now, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 5, church family, we have gone through several things. I'll make review very brief tonight. Chapter number 1, Paul was talking to Timothy. He said, charge some that they teach no other doctrine. The word doctrine is used several times in chapter number 1. Chapter number 2, we looked at two things. First one being prayer. And then, of course, the second thing being women professing godliness. Chapter number 3, the bulk of that chapter, two things, requirements for pastors, requirements for deacons. Chapter number 4, we really drew out the word these things. It's mentioned three times there, kind of used that as our outline for chapter number 4. So some things we should command, teach, meditate, and put the brethren in remembrance of. We're starting chapter number 5 now. And Paul, speaking to Timothy, is going to tell him on how to treat certain people in the church. Now, everyone tonight is included in these two verses tonight. It's very, very interesting. He covers gender and age. Gender and age. So let's look at those quickly tonight. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Look at verse number 1 with me. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity. Now, church family, for interpretation's sake, I want you to notice that it says the word elder in verse 1, rebuke not an elder. I want you to look at verse 2, it says the elder women. In context, the word elder here is not talking about the bishop, the overseer, the pastor. The word elder here is talking about an older person. And in fact, it's interesting, the word elder in verse 1 and the word elder in verse 2, identical meanings. Is talking about a person who's older in their years. All right. Now, he's going to deal with other things in this chapter. By the Lord permitting, we're going to talk about the widow indeed. It's amazing the bulk of the chapter is talking about what a widow indeed is. And we'll look at that, Lord permitting, another day night. But tonight, I want to deal with just these two verses tonight. In these first two verses, Paul is speaking to Timothy, this young preacher at Ephesus. Now, remember now, Ephesus was not the best location. I mean, Ephesus, the goddess of Diana, the immorality that went on at the temple. Ephesus was not an ideal city, but this is where this church was started. People were saved, and then Timothy now is there pastoring this group of people at Ephesus. Now, in the church there, he had old and young. By the way, I think, and I believe the Bible teaches this too, but I think a healthy church is when you have all ages in a church. We have a nursery. We've got young people in the service tonight. We've got teenagers in the service tonight. We've got college students in the service tonight. We've got middle age. We've got older senior saints. And so that's a good thing for a church, by the way. If everybody was a senior saint, then what would happen? Eventually the church would die. All right? So we praise the Lord for that next generation that's coming behind. Now, Paul, speaking to Timothy, young Timothy, we know that from chapter 4, verse number 12, let no man despise thy youth. All right? So Paul, Timothy was a young person, all right? He was about age 48, but he was a young person. And you're not supposed to laugh there, all right? I don't think he was 48 either, but anyway, just, at least I know some of you are awake now. But so Paul is talking to Timothy. Timothy's a young person, and he's the pastor of this particular church. And it's amazing that when he's talking to Timothy, he says, Timothy, you're going to have to treat the people in the church a certain way. Now, I want to tell you the context is Paul talking to Timothy, the pastor, the minister, on how he's supposed to minister to people. But Paul is also, by God, is speaking to us as Christians on how we're supposed to treat the brethren. All right, now he's going to mention these four different areas. Let's just look at them one more time so they're in our mind, and then we'll walk quickly through them. He says, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father. What's the punctuation after that first sentence? Semicolon. And the younger men as brethren. What's the punctuation? And the elder women as mothers. What's the punctuation? And then the younger as sisters with all purity. What's the punctuation? All right, now, I'm not an English teacher, but I think that we can figure out that this is one; these two verses are going together. All right, we have a period at the end of verse number 2, so the context and the thought that Paul's getting across is in both of these verses. And so The first word of verse number one tells us what he's trying to tell us about both of these two verses. All right, so here Paul talks to Timothy. Now, first of all, he says, Timothy, he says, rebuke not an elder, first group. Now, I circled in my Bible the word elder. I don't know what you do in yours, but I underline circle. But he's going to have four groups of people here. He says, rebuke not an elder, that's group number one, but entreat him as a father. Group number two, and the younger men as brethren. All right, so I circled younger men as brethren. Verse number two says, the elder women, that's group number three, the elder women as mothers. And then the younger, I circled the word younger, that's the fourth group, younger as sisters with all purity. So Paul talking to Timothy, if we wanted to change the title, tonight I'm going to just deal with on how to treat people in the church, but if we were to change the title, I think that we could really say that Paul's telling Timothy how to give proper correction to those in the church. Think about the first word, rebuke. And that word rebuke really carries on with all four groups because he's telling the four groups and how to treat them when you do this. All right, if you're with me tonight, say amen. So here he says, Timothy, when you have to rebuke the older elder men, he says, hey, you better treat him as a father. He says, when you have to rebuke the young men, you better treat them as brethren. He says, when you have to rebuke the elder women, you should treat them as mothers. And when you have to rebuke the young women, you ought to treat them as sisters with all purity. All right, so we get the concept of what these verses are talking about. Paul is really trying to tell Timothy that, hey, listen, let me quickly say that sometimes we take that first phrase and we'll say, okay, well, then you're not supposed to get on old people. Rebuke not an elder. But that's not what he's saying there. In fact, Paul, remember what he said, Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 2? Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, what? All right, now, that word rebuke, I've often used the phrase to scold sharply, and it does mean that. It means to chastise with your lips. It means to scold sharply. It means to rebuke, to say, hey, we don't do that. All right, you're not supposed to do that. But Paul, again, is telling Timothy not to ever rebuke. And by the way, there's a whole lot more verses on this area of rebuke. And tonight, I don't have to turn to any of them. But let me just remind you, 1 Timothy 5:20, them that sin rebuke before all that others also may fear. Titus 1:13, this witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply. Titus 2:15, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all. I just want you to understand that he's not saying, don't do this. How many times have we said this and it's so true? It's not our position, it's our... It's not what we believe, it's how we portray what we believe. So here Paul finds Timothy and he's a young man. Many of you, on anniversary Sunday this last Sunday, it was neat to see many of you that were here all these years. And you were here when I was 25 years old. I was at that time a young man, all right, 25 years old. And you think back to those days and things that were done. And that's the kind of idea of a church that Paul's talking to. He said, now, Timothy, you're young. But because you're young, you're still the overseer. And there's going to be times that people are going to do some things they shouldn't be doing. And God did not put you as the overseer just to watch. God put you as the overseer to guard and protect, to be vigilant. And there's times that you're going to have to say, hey, don't do that, and we can't do that, and that's not what God wants. And there's times you have to do that, but he says, listen, it's not just what you do, it's how you do it. So tonight, let's look at these four quickly tonight. Here's the first thing he talks about. He's talking to the old elder men, and he talks to these elder men, and he says, now listen, he says, when you have to rebuke, he says, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father. Retreat him as a father. Now, a lot of times when we read these verses, all of us have a different concept of these family terms because of the way you were raised in your family. All right? Now, tonight, church family, I'll do my best to run tonight, but I really want you to think about how you treat others in the church. Now, I'm going to tell you specifically in the portrayal of this passage, I'm the pastor. I'm supposed to entreat. Brother Smith, you're old. How old are you? 62 years old. All right, would you stand for just a second? I'm going to mistreat you tonight. I'm going to treat you like a father. Amen. All right, so God says to Timothy, you're going to have some older men in the church. He says, now listen, don't rebuke them. Don't scold them. Treat them as a father. All right, now, church family, can you stand for just a minute, Brother Smith? I'm going to use you here in a second. I want you to understand, church family, that let me ask this question, and you'll see where I'm going with this. For all have... Church family, would you agree with me that all of us are capable of doing sinful things? And can I add to that? Dumb things. All right, things that we shouldn't say, things that we shouldn't do. It's interesting. I don't know how many times you've heard people say this. Gray hair is a sign of... You ever heard somebody say that? Gray hair is a sign of wisdom. How many's heard somebody say that? All right. Can I tell you that's not in the Bible? The Bible says the hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. Verse 16:31. So the Bible doesn't say if you have white hair, you're wise. Because I want to tell you something. I've met a lot of guys with white hair. They weren't wise. Okay. And you know, the Bible even teaches that same concept that just because you're old doesn't mean you're wise or that you do right. Ecclesiastes 4:13. Better is a poor and a wise child than an old and foolish king who will no more be admired. In fact, speaking of kings, the wisest man that had ever lived, at what point in his life did he mess up? Exactly. 2 Kings chapter 11, I think it's verse number 3. And Solomon, and when he was old, his heart was turned away from the Lord. So again, I want you to understand that there's people in the church of Ephesus that obviously Timothy had to deal with. But Paul said, Timothy, I want to tell you something. You're a young man, and just because you're the overseer, you're not a dictator. And he says, you better treat those old people right. And then he goes a step farther and he says, I'm going to tell you how you ought to treat them. You ought to treat them like your father. Now, if you're young tonight, I don't believe that you have a full concept of these family terms until you get older, because Paul was writing this as Paul the aged. Paul was not writing this. I'm gonna let you sit down for a second because I know you're getting tired. All right. All right. I'm gonna need you though. All right. Can I tell you this? When I was younger, I did not look at my father like I looked at my father after I got married. When I was a young person at home, you know, everything was about me. Life was about what I'm going to do, where I'm going to go, who I'm going to be with, what's enjoyable to me. But I want to tell you something, when you get married, you start to have a family, I want to tell you something, your mind goes back to your father like it doesn't go to your father when you're at home. Paul didn't write this as a teeny boppy. And by the way, I understand, and I'm not trying to take away from God's inspiration tonight. Paul wrote what God told him to write, but God used a human vessel to write it. So Paul, the aged, is writing this. He says, now listen, Timothy, there's going to be people in the church, and those aged men, I want you to treat them like your father. Now, you younger people tonight, teenagers, and even college students tonight, I want to tell you something. There ought to be a respect for the aged, for the older people in our church. There ought to be a natural respect. You ought not to run out a door without holding that door for the person behind you, and specifically an older person, all right? So now, let me get back to the interpretation tonight. I'm going to give a quick application on each one of these. Interpretation. Scott Hanks, you're the pastor of Heritage Baptist Church. Now, you remember now, he's talking to Timothy, of course. Scott Hanks, you're the pastor of Heritage Baptist Church. There's going to be times that some of the older folk might do some things that they shouldn't do, but you don't rebuke them. You treat them like your father. My dad, one time, I felt like he made a big mistake. And it was concerning my sister Mary. My sister Mary was going to marry a young man that my father had taken into the house. My dad had done it all of our life, taking people in, tried to help him out. This guy was a wayward fella. Came living with my dad for about 3 years. His life turned around. I mean, really, really amazing, really, really turned around. And he graduated from the high school there in Sauk Village. But I was already here at Lawrence, Kansas. I was not back at home. I did not realize that my sister Mary was gravitating to this particular fellow that was in the house there. And those years, he graduated from the school, stayed on. He's very loyal to my dad. But he'd only been with him like 3 years, four maybe, I don't know. Well, anyway, I got news through the grapevine that my sister was getting married. They didn't call me. And the reason they didn't call me because they knew how I felt about it. I drove to Sauk Village. This is when I was pastor here. I drove to Sauk Village, and I met my father, and I said, Dad, I think this is a mistake. I didn't even talk to Mary. I went to my dad, because I knew my dad had to approve the wedding. I said, Dad, I think this is a big mistake. I said, you brought in a wayward fella into your house, and he's going to marry your daughter. And I said, I don't think this is good. Now, I didn't go to my dad and say, you know, Dad, you need to get your heart right with God because you're obviously making a big mistake. I went to him as my father. I went to him and we talked. No one raised their voice. Nobody yelled. I talked to him. I said, Dad, I just don't think this is a good idea. Now, I want to tell you something. Now, of course, after the fact, it wasn't a good idea. Mary stayed faithful to God. He ended up being unfaithful to Mary. He ended up divorcing Mary. Now, I want to tell you something tonight. I had a different relationship with my father because he was my father. Hey, church family, let's make the application tonight. The church family that you see around you, can I tell you something? God expects us to treat the aged with more respect than we would people our own peer, our own age. There's just something that God says, hey, listen, I want you to treat them with more respect. I want you to honor them. It's interesting, and again, there's other verses tonight that we could look at. I don't think it'll take the time to do it. But God makes reference to how that you're supposed to stand and give reverence to an older person. Now, I want to tell you, as people get older, you need to honor that. You need to show respect to that. Young people tonight, look at me tonight. I want to tell you something. One day you're going to get old, and I think people are going to treat you exactly how you treat people now. And so the first thing he says, Timothy, when it comes to correction in the church, if you have an older person that needs correction, you better make sure you treat him like a father. You treat him with kindness. You might give suggestions, but don't rebuke him. All right? Second thing he goes to these younger people. Let's quickly, I'm trying to hurry here. Why don't you look at the next group here? He says, second of all, he says, rebuke not, verse number one, rebuke not an older, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren. The younger men as brethren. Now, this word brethren actually means brother. You that are young people tonight, as soon as I say treat the younger men as brethren. Now, I don't know what that age is, by the way. The Bible doesn't tell us what the younger is. But obviously, a teenager, a person in their 20s tonight, maybe even a person in their 30s, younger, I don't know. But the younger men, he says you're supposed to treat them as brother. Now, some of you tonight, look at me now, some of you, your concept of treating your brother is one of ridicule, making fun of, being critical of. But can I tell you something? That changes as you get older. When Paul was writing this, and he uses this statement of treating the younger men as brethren, some of you don't understand this because you're not there yet. Okay? My brother got home from China 2 weeks ago, and they took him to the emergency room. He has cellulitis in one of his legs. They thought he had a blood clot. And I was semi-close to where he was at, so I drove to the hospital to where he was, and he was there, and got a chance to talk to him. And the reason for it is because he's my brother. Amen. If I'm anywhere near where he's at, I want to go see him. Amen. Because he's my brother. Now, some of you, you're thinking to yourself, man alive, I could care less where my brother is. He can go 10 to 10 bucks too. But I want to tell you something. As you get older and you get out of your it's all about you attitude, you're going to find out that your brothers and sisters are important people. Amen. Hey, church, isn't it interesting? I don't mean to lose you tonight. But isn't it interesting that when God describes the kind of love Christians are supposed to have toward one another, what term does he use? Brotherly love. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a what? This brotherly term is a term of endearment. I care about you. So here's what he's saying. He says, hey, listen, you know how you're supposed to treat each other? You guys that are college students, you guys, you'd obviously be considered young men. He says, you're supposed to treat them as your brother. And I know what you're thinking, man. I do treat them as their brother. I hit them every time I get a chance. But that's not what he's saying. He's not talking about brothers that when you're young, you're wrestling, you're hitting each other in the arm, you're making fun of the way they're dressing. I mean, he's not talking about that kind of brother. He's talking about a person who gets to a place of maturity in life, and they think of their brother as, and by the way, all of us have brothers that they do things that we don't necessarily agree with, but as you get older, you love them beyond what they're doing. You love them beyond what they're doing. So here he sits in a church setting. Let's do the context, then make application. Context, Scott Hanks, Timothy. You're going to have people in the church that are going to be younger men. They're going to do some dumb things. They're going to skip church every once in a while. They're going to put their job first instead of putting God first every once in a while. They're going to start using their tithe because they think that they can't make it without doing it instead of giving God their money, their tithe. They're going to say things. He says, hey, listen, Timothy, Scott Hanks, listen now. You treat those young men as they're your brother. It's a mindset that's contrary to the way we think of things. I wish that you could have, and some of you do, no, I don't mean to limit everybody tonight, but I wish you could have the relationship of a brother and sister that actually love each other. I was in Hammond this week, and the boys were with me. We did a two-day conference, came right back, but I had already paid for meals for all of us at the place we were having the conference, and for myself as well. We were on the way out that morning, and Linda called me up and said, "Hey, listen, we can feed all the college that you have with you, and this is my brother's wife, and come over." And I had already bought their meals. So I said, "No, I can't do that." But I said, "I'll eat with David tonight." So I went back and met with David, and they had tacos, and the family was together that Tuesday night, I believe it was. And I ate with them, and then of course I had to go to the service, and so it was time for David and I to leave. And so David and I, we hugged each other, like we do every time that we part. I said, "David, good to see you." You know why? Because we're brothers. And I love him. Hey, church family, can I make application tonight? First of all, you know how you're supposed to treat the aged? As your father. Now, if you got a bad relationship with your father, that's not what he's talking about. You should have a good relationship with your father. Amen. Number two, he says, hey, listen, the younger men, okay, they don't... Hey, church family, watch for a second here. If I have a problem with my earthly father, I'm just going to be really kind and very unoffensive when I talk to my dad. Now, if I got a problem with my brother, David, what are you thinking? Why did you do that? Because you know why? Because we have that kind of relationship. I wouldn't do that with my dad. I wouldn't say, "Dad, what were you thinking?" That's not going to happen. It's different relationships. So Paul says inside a church, there are different relationships. Relationship number one, older person, older man, you treat him as a father. Now, church, the application I think is there, and I think it's very clear. It's not just the pulpit to the pew. It's us as Christians to one another. Hey, listen, treat the elder as a father, elder man. He says treat the younger men as brothers. Number three. Then he says the elder women. This is about Mrs. Stumpfel's age. Elder women. Look what he says there in verse number two. He says the elder women as mothers. Now, I don't want to get away from the context tonight. There are times that, again, people do things that are wrong that they shouldn't be doing, or they cause conflict in the church. The pastor has to confront conflict. Now, by the way, I'll be honest with you, most of you have been with me long enough. Some conflict goes away with time. Some conflict gets worse if you don't say something. So he's saying, hey, listen, if you've got a lady in the church that's causing conflict and she's older, you treat her like your mother, all right? Now, my mother's 73 years old. I got a chance to see her this week, too, so it was a blessing. But my mom, you know, at 73, my dad's not alive, okay? So her male authority is not there. The church she's going to still has an intern. Long story there. So she really doesn't even have a pastor, per se, as her authority, okay? So my mom, every once in a while, she really makes some bad decisions. All right? So if she really knows she's made a bad decision, she does not call me. All right? Now, they tease about me being her favorite, and truthfully, it might be true. But I have a relationship with my mother that I can just say, "Mom, you shouldn't have done that." And I'm serious, and I've done that before. "Mom, you shouldn't have done that." And she'll look at me and say, "Scott, I know you're right." But I don't scold my mother. I don't treat her like a little kid. I don't yell at her. I treat her like my mom. "Mom, you shouldn't have done that." All right, so let's figure out how we're going to get out of this. We shouldn't do this. She's my mother. Hey, when it comes to church setting, you know, church family, we would take care of a lot of backbiting, gossip, tail-bearing, fighting amongst one another if we would change our mentality to that of a family. So he says, when it comes to the ladies of the church, the older women, he says, "Men, treat them like your mother." Hey, church, I can't name them all tonight because I know, but man, look here, Mrs. Compton, how old are you now? 85 years old. Miss Sanford, how old are you?
67.
This is Gracie Morris. How old is Gracie? Let me see. You know?
What?
You know how old Gracie is? I don't know either. I think she's 95. She's not 95.
She's younger.
She's young. Everybody's younger than you are. See, that's how I would treat my mother. I just want you to know that. I would tease with her. She likes me teasing. Hey, all I'm trying to say tonight is, according to the context scriptures, you know what you guys ought to be doing? You fellas, look at me now. You know what you ought to be doing? You ought to treat these older women as if they're your mother. You ought to hold a door for them. You ought to walk them out to the car when they need assistance. You ought to see if they need you to carry something. You ought to treat them like your mother. All right? My mother went to Six Flags Great America this, a few months back, and they went with their church family. I wasn't there. My mother, she's 73 years old. I'm guessing she's 73. I think that's how old she is. Am I correct on that? Is she 72 or 73? Pardon? She is 72. All right, 72. Very good. You know my mother better than I know her. 72 years old. So she's at Six Flags Great America. She's riding rides. Now, I want to tell you something. If you're 72, you should not be riding rides. But my mom, she's, you know, does things. So she got into the bumper cars, okay? Yeah, tell me about it, okay? So she gets into the bumper cars, and you know how the bumper cars go, and you're going all over the place. And, you know, she's 72 years old. If you've ever gotten a bumper car, you're almost sitting flat on the ground, because those bumper cars are flat on the ground. So she got in, but she couldn't get out. So the ride stops. You know how bumper cars are. When it stops, wherever your car stops, that's where it starts. Well, everybody from the church that was with her got out of their car and got out, and she could not get out of the car. So she's sitting in her bumper car thinking, who's going to help me out of this thing? So people from the place there came over and helped her get out of her bumper car. And she finally catches up with a group, and my brother's there. And she catches up with David, and she says, David, you left me in the bumper cars. And here's what she said. Your brother Scott would have never done that. Hey, I want to tell you why she said that. I wouldn't have done that. I'd made sure my mom was okay. Now, I'm not saying that in a negative to my brother. You got to know my brother. Because he laughed it off. Hey, you young fellas, I want to tell you, let's make it a little more personal tonight. Your mother ought to, your mom and dad, the most important people in your life, other than God, ought to be your mom and dad.
Amen.
The most important people in your life, other than than God himself, ought to be your mom and dad.
That
ought to be. Hey, I want to tell you something. I'm your pastor, and I want to be important to you. I mean, that's as your pastor, I would like for you to want to come to me because, hey, you value what the preacher says and the advice that he would give, knowing that it's what the Lord would want. But I want to tell you something. More important than me, it's your mom and dad. Now, quickly, last one, and that's this. Then he's going to talk about younger women now. He says the older women treat him as mothers. He says the younger women, he says, I want you to treat them as sisters with all purity. Now, it's interesting that God added that with all purity, and we all know why. Because we're not supposed to have a relationship with the younger women in the church, because obviously that could produce either a bad testimony or cause a temptation that shouldn't be there. So he says, hey, listen, when it comes to the younger women, treat them with purity. Don't use sly conversation that has innuendos or can have a double meaning. It can either be physical or good or bad. He says, don't have this impure relationship with the younger women. Make sure that you're not alone with them. I'm talking about if you're a fella, being alone with another lady. He says, listen, you treat them as your sisters, but with all purity. Susan and Mary were 8 years younger than I, my brother and I. So it was kind of like we were in two different worlds. My brother and I were in this world, and 8 years later, they came along. So we weren't really connected with them very much. Now, my sisters, they're older now. Susan's in the church here, and, of course, Mary's back in Sauk Village. But I love my sisters. This morning, I left the house. I stayed with my mom last night there in Sauk Village. And so I left there, I think, at 6:15 this morning, if I remember correctly. So at 6 o'clock, I was loading my luggage up into the van. And Mary got out of bed. My sister Mary got out of bed. And came to say goodbye to me. And I gave her a hug, And said, I hope you have a great day. Look forward to seeing you at Thanksgiving. Because there's folks that come to Thanksgiving. I said, I look forward to seeing that. You know, some of you tonight, when I say treat the younger women as sisters, you think that means throwing rocks at them. Or tripping them. Or making fun of them. And the part of it is because you have not gotten to the age yet to value family. Look at me now. I can't stress enough that if you've not gotten to the age of maturity level to figure out that the brothers and sisters that God gave you was God-given, that you need to ask God to help you treat your immediate family with specialness. Now, I'll say this, application. I'm almost done. Pastor Hanks, Timothy, Scott Hanks, listen, Timothy, the younger women in the church, treat them like a sister. Look out for them. Love them. Care for them. When you have to rebuke them, treat it as a sister. Treat them as a sister. This is how you take care of it kindly. Hey, application, church family. Hey, the younger women, you're not supposed to treat people. Just treat them as their sister with all purity. Looking after them. Hey, how many of you older folks in here can remember when you were, you know, getting those teen years, those older? How many of you had sisters? Raise your hand. Okay, several of you. Hey, how many of you would, fellas, I'm talking to the fellas tonight. If you have sisters, how many of you, your sisters were semi-close in age and they got to that age where the boys started liking them, that you kind of kept an eye out on her? Yeah. You tried to watch for the wolves. You know what you're doing? You were doing what brothers do. They take care of their sisters. Hey, can I tell you something, church family? I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Remember how it goes like that? Joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this side. You'll notice that we say brother and sister around here. That's because we're a family. Hey, Timothy, Church of Ephesus, it's a body. It's a family. They're brothers and sisters in Christ. He says, hey, listen, make sure you treat them accordingly. Church family, how are you treating one another tonight? Is there somebody across the way there in the auditorium, maybe tonight or maybe not here, but you're thinking of that come to this church, that you just don't really treat them like a brother, sister, mother, father? Hey, can I tell you, he told Timothy, you better make sure that you treat them that way. And I just want to tell you that's a Christian thing to do, not just a pastoral thing to do. God wants us to make sure that we treat others. And let me close by saying this. The best place to teach on how to treat the elder men as fathers, the younger men as brothers, the elder women as mothers, and the younger women as sisters, the best place to teach that is in the home. Because how they treat mom and dad in the home and how they treat their brothers and sisters in home is going to carry out in Christianity. Would you bow your head and close your eyes tonight?